our keystone verses for this series. I'll try to be brief with these, but I want to make sure that we're not just learning new stuff, but that we're connecting the new things that we're learning with the former things that we have discussed already, so that we are able to see the entire picture that's being painted for us and presented to us by the Word of God. So beginning in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15, "Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." And this is what the Apostle Paul prayed for the churches and did so continually. He prayed that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And so we see that the Apostle Paul was praying that born again believers, men and women who've already come to Jesus, men and women who've already been born again, already received God's gifts of the new birth and salvation, Paul now is continually praying for them that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened and that they would know. That word "know" there means an ability to see with perception. So it's one thing to be born again. It's another thing, again, Paul writing to Timothy, to come to the knowledge of the truth. A lot of people have received salvation, but we're still coming to the knowledge of the truth, meaning we are growing up into Jesus. We are learning things, and our eyes are being opened to things that we have previously been unable to see. And that is a process. Come on, somebody say process. That's a process. That is an ongoing process as we are growing and developing and learning together. Now, if we take this passage and go to Ephesians chapter 4, same letter to the church, verse 17, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind." So let's break some of these words down just real quick. Like, remember, first and foremost, he's writing to men and women who have been born again, writing to men and women who have received God's gifts of the new birth and salvation. And yet they're struggling in the sense that they're still living like people who have not been born again. Someone who is a Gentile, obviously low-hanging fruit means they're non-Jewish. But also we could say it, and I think it sheds more light on it when we look at it from this angle. Think of someone who is a Gentile as someone who does not have a covenant with God. You had the descendants of Abraham, Jewish men and women, they had a covenant with God. If you were not a Jewish man or woman in Bible days, you did not have a covenant with God. So when he says that they're walking or living like the rest of the Gentiles, he's not just saying that they're living like heathen. That would be perhaps appropriate. But even more so, they're living like outsiders. They're living like men and women who don't know God, who don't have a covenant with God, when in actuality they do. And notice there's a comma there. Walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, comma, in the futility of their mind. In the futility of, and I almost want to go back and just put "their" in all caps. Their mind, amen. In other words, they're still living out of their own understanding. They're still living out of their own thinking. It's one thing for your spirit to be born again. It's another thing for your mind to be renewed. Remember, you are a spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body. When you were born again and everything became new, that's speaking of God's work in your spirit, your born again spirit. That is a past completed work. That's why the Bible speaks of our salvation in three tenses. The same Bible that says you have been saved also says you are being saved, and then also says you shall be saved. Are being, have been, are being, shall be. Have been, are being, shall be. Past tense, present tense, future tense. Past tense, spirit has been. Present tense, soul is being. Future tense, body shall be. Amen. Amen. Are you seeing this? This is so critically important. God speaks to us as the three-dimensional beings that he created us as. Amen. You are a three-dimensional being. God's words to you are spoken to you as a three-dimensional being. If you do not understand spirit, soul, and body, you're going to be lost where a vast majority of the Bible is concerned, especially in the New Testament. So our minds are being renewed. Our thinking is being renewed. And there's a real simple answer for this. When it comes to your mind, it is yours. Amen. God did not create you to program you like a robot, but He created you with free will so that you could choose to serve Him or you could choose to walk away from Him. You could choose to do it His way or you can choose to do it your own way. So the renewing of the mind is where our minds are being reconditioned. I like that word reconditioned almost better than renewed. They mean basically the same thing. But reconditioned implies that our minds have been conditioned one way. Now they're being reconditioned God's way. We live in a world that has conditioned us to look at things through a specific lens. We live in a world that has conditioned us to think a certain way. So when we're born again, our spirit becomes new. Now our minds must be reconditioned to think in agreement with and in alignment with God and His ways, in agreement with and in alignment with who we became the day we became a new creation in Christ Jesus. So He's obviously talking to men and women here in Ephesus and still in the church today, men and women who have been saved but have not yet come to the knowledge of the truth. Their eyes of the eyes of their understanding, their ability to see with perception is still developing. Let's say it that way, still being reconditioned. And so He says that they're living in the futility of their mind. The King James says the vanity of their mind. If something is vain or futile, it simply means no matter how many times you do it that way, it will never produce the result you're desiring in your life. If it's futile, if it's vain, you can do it that way until you're blue in the face, until you're dead in the grave, and it will never produce the result you're looking for in life. But aren't you glad God has ways of doing things, amen, that will produce the results that we desire, things that will get us to the place that we cannot get to without Him. And remember, God's trying to get you to a place in life you cannot get to on your own. And we long for that place, we desire that place, but we can't get to that place in life apart from and without Him. Verse 18, but notice now, verse 17 ends with a comma, and verse 18 continues. So walk, live your life as the rest of people who have no covenant with God live their lives in the futility of their mind as opposed to the mind of Christ, having their understanding darkened. Their understanding darkened. So your understanding is the way you see things. Your understanding is the way you process things. The way you understand something to be is your perspective. And if you've ever heard the idiom, perception determines reality. Well, it determines your reality. Amen. But God's truth is the highest form of reality. If you're living your life by something other than God's truth, you are living in an alternate reality. The highest form of reality, again, is truth. And I'm not talking about, you know, the world's developed this phrase, my truth. Well, that's my truth. You don't get to decide what's true or not. God is the only one who decides what's true. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Truth is a person personified in the only begotten Son of God, now the firstborn among many brethren, who came and lived among us full of grace and truth. He displayed truth for us. He lived truth out in front of us and set the example of what living in the reality of God's truth looks like on planet Earth. Highest form of reality, praise God. Anything less than God's truth is a lesser reality. And we even say things like, man, she's in her own world, right? Man, that dude, he marches to a different drummer, okay? So what, in other words, when we say that about somebody, they think in ways that we don't think. They live their lives in ways that we don't live. And we're sitting there scratching our head trying to figure it out. Well, truth is truth. God is truth. Amen. His word is truth. And truth is the highest form of reality. So we want our minds to be enlightened with God's truth. When, remember He says that His word is light. The entrance of His word brings light. So when it's God's truth bringing the light, this is when we're able to see things as they truly are. When we can see things as they truly are. Satan never wants you and me to see things the way they truly are. He wants to deceive us and trick us and try to do a lens overlay where we're looking through a lens that is clouding our perspective and our understanding of things. And so He's talking again, I keep saying this over and over, Because we read this and we think that we're talking about some heathens that lived, you know, a couple thousand years ago and think that this has no application to the modern church. My friend, it absolutely positively does have application to the current present day church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In other words, there are a lot of people who are born again, a lot of people who come to church every Sunday somewhere, not just here, but everywhere, right? Saved on their way to heaven, names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but they're still living with a darkened understanding. And because of that, they're being alienated from the life of God. They're being separated from the life that they could otherwise be enjoying and experiencing because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. So we see these words, understanding, ignorance, and blindness. And of course, all of these words are not exactly the same, but they all paint a similar picture. Now, remember Proverbs 3, and we're going to go way back now, but Proverbs 3 tells us to trust in the Lord with all of our heart, and then what comes next? And do not lean on your own understanding. A darkened understanding causes people to live alienated from the life of God. This is true for those who do not know God, and it's also true for those who do know Him. Blindness of the heart could also have been translated hardness of heart, and Jesus used that expression, and it covers both cause and effect. Now, one of the underlying causes of a blind heart or a hardened heart or a darkened understanding is being set in your own ways. Being set in your own ways blinds you to the ways of God. And the longer we live, the more set we become in our ways of doing things. And this is why we must have the Holy Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God to help break us free from a darkened understanding, break us out of being set in our own ways. Now, I believe a darkened understanding is one of our greatest and most challenging problems. Nothing limits you more as a born-again believer than your own understanding. I'm going to go through a list. I've carried this list with me to the pulpit now for, I don't know, 2 or 3 months. And we've touched on a part of it, but I really felt impressed, you know, this morning that, hey, you know, it's time that we go through this real quick anyway. Just for you to see what a real problem this darkened understanding is and why we need to allow the Holy Spirit to help us break free from it, all right? So I've put this slide up. It's been weeks ago. A new creature, and if you've been born again, you are a new creature. But a new creature with an old understanding will continue to live like an old creature. Your own understanding limits you to what makes sense or sounds reasonable to you. Think of all the things beginning in Genesis, all the things when God interacts with His people on planet Earth, things that He asks them to do that do not make sense, that are not reasonable. Noah built an ark on dry ground. It didn't make sense. He was a laughingstock. I mean, we could spend the rest of this Sunday and 3 more Sundays to follow just looking at things that the Lord instructed people to do that didn't make sense. Now, why is that? Is God just, you know, God is testing. He's not testing you. He's trying to get your faith involved. He's trying to get you beyond being a darkened understanding. He's trying to show you that you're not limited by what makes sense to you. Just because it doesn't make sense to you doesn't mean it doesn't make sense to God. Amen. God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And not just a little bit higher, higher as the heavens are above the earth, higher. So when God says to a human being and invites you or instructs you, commands you to do something that doesn't make sense to you, He's inviting you to come up higher. He's inviting you to break free from a darkened understanding and by faith, amen, remember all the ways of God require you trust God, take a step of faith, amen. God can only carry you as far as your trust in Him will allow. So it requires trust. Now, let's just go through some of these, because some of the key words here are going to be limit. And we're going to get there this morning, hopefully, before we're done. But let me just remind you, in Galatians 4, the Bible says that we've been set free from the weak and beggarly elements of this world. To be set free, to no longer be in bondage to something, means you're no longer held by it. You're no longer limited by it. If someone is in prison, for example, then they are limited. Their freedoms are limited. Their, you know, where they can go is limited. What they can do is limited. But then when that person is set free from prison, the limits that were previously upon them are no longer imposed upon them. So when he says that we've been set free, remember, so many people think the gold standard of Christianity is freedom from sin. And Paul's not talking about freedom from sin in Galatians 4. He's talking about the next step. Now that we've been made free from sin, we can live free from the weak and beggarly elements of this world. The world system that we once depended upon, we don't have to depend upon it anymore. We are no longer limited by or bound by what this world is able to produce and what this system, this world system can produce. We now can rise above that. Did Jesus have to have a large bakery to feed thousands of people? No. He didn't have to have, you know, seven caterers on speed dial. Now, some of you are like, well, oh, come on, Pastor Mark, this is the 21st century. Hey, and are we living still with a darkened understanding? Let's step back for a minute. You do understand that Jesus understood things differently than the people he was living among. And religion just says, yeah, but he was Jesus. But if you look at it carefully, Jesus was constantly trying to get us to see things the way he saw them. He was constantly trying to get you and me to understand things the way he understood them. And so time and time again, even after the disciples participated in multiple mass feedings, they're arguing over who forgot to pack the lunch. And Jesus says, do you still not understand? In other words, are you still looking at it the way the world looks at it? That you're not limited to who packed the lunch anymore. We're free from that now. Your own understanding limits you to what you can produce on your own. Your own understanding will never produce supernatural increase in your life. See, God is trying to increase you. He is the God of increase. And he wants to increase you. And he wants to do so supernaturally. He wants to increase you beyond what you can do yourself. That doesn't mean you sit back and suck the cream out of Creamfield donuts while God does whatever he's going to do in your life. He's wanting you to cooperate together with him. But remember, he's trying to take you to a place you can't get to on your own. But see, if we're going to just live our lives based upon what makes sense and sounds reasonable, what makes sense and sounds reasonable has never produced a miracle and never will. What makes sense and sounds reasonable will never produce supernatural increase in your life. It'll never produce more than you can produce on your own. So I just said that, but let's say it again. Your own understanding cannot produce a miracle. Ask yourself, how many miracles has a man's understanding ever produced? None, not a single one. How about this one? Your own understanding will limit you to the best answers of other people. That's why we got a problem, sad, but for even God's people, first thing they do is grab Google. Right? Because Google is the fastest way to find the best answers other people have. Come on now, are we limited to the best answers of men? No. We've been made free from the best answers of other people. Your own understanding will never allow you to tap into the healing you've already been given. By His stripes you were healed. Man, this is huge right here. Your own understanding blinds you to the potential you have been given in Christ. Your own understanding limits you to what you currently have in your hand. Think about that one right there. Think of how many dreams God has put in the hearts of His children that are never realized because we keep looking at the dream and then we look at what we have in our hand and we don't see how we can ever fulfill the dream God has given us based upon what we currently possess in our hand or in our bank account. Did I say that plain enough? Because that's a big one right there. I hear people talk all the time, and the last time I was with you, not last Sunday, but Sunday a week ago, we talked about this desire when we hear, especially when that lottery starts going up near $1 billion. You got a lot of people who never vote for the lottery in Alabama, but when it gets that high, they'll sneak across the line and buy them one. Telling themselves that, you know, if I win, my pastor will forgive me because I'm going to pay the tithe and nobody will judge me. Nobody will judge me when I drop $10 million in the offering. Why does that appeal to us? It appeals to us because now all of a sudden we start thinking about all the things we've dreamed of that we can quote unquote do now. And I don't say this, with like the word that keeps coming up, incredulousness. You understand what that means? In other words, I believe it when people say, man, if I won the lottery, I would do this, I would give this, I would build this, I would help this, I would buy this, I would do this for so-and-so, right? In other words, all the people you would help, all the things you would do, all the money you would give, all the things you would build, right? Why? Because notice now, With this dream that we've got, all this money, this windfall of cash, notice now, we're dreaming again. People who hadn't dreamed in years start dreaming again. Oh man, I'm gonna tell you what I'd help this, I'd give this. You know, man, if I had, I'd buy a whole new foundry. I'd get them out of Bessemer, it was just all these things that we say we would do. I would give this, I would do that. And I believe it. When people say that, because that's in our heart. If you're born again, you're born of a generous God. His nature is to give. He is love and His nature is to give. And if you've been born of His seed, that's your nature too. But do you see what's happening here now? Now it's like we're no longer dreaming based upon what we have in our hand, but we're dreaming based upon winning the lottery and becoming billionaires overnight. Your own understanding limits you to what you currently have in your hand. Quit letting the enemy limit you to what you have in your hand. Start dreaming. Start believing God. Start asking God. He said you have not because you ask not. Start asking God. When He puts a dream in your heart, something you want to do for Him, something you want to build for Him, something you want to do that'll help somebody else and build His kingdom, stop looking at what you have in your hand and deciding whether or not it's possible. We're not limited to what we have in our hands anymore. Your own understanding makes you a slave to time. We've mentioned that one a time or two over the last several weeks. Your own understanding makes you a slave to time. So how does it go? We look at this with, you know, I want to do this, but man, it'd take me this long, and then I have to do this, and then... Was Jesus a slave to time? absolutely not a slave to time. Healing has, in other words, your body was created, fearfully and wonderfully made, to heal and repair itself. It's an amazing aspect of the human body. And so we say, well, you know, I'll feel better in a few days, or I'll amen. If you want to hear a story about supernatural recovery, ask Marty Webb. Amen. I don't know if you saw his post on Facebook this week, but his doctor said, you know what? You don't even need the physical therapy. See, he's not a slave to time. How many weeks did they tell you, brother, it was going to take? They were talking about how long it's going to take. No, it didn't take. See, he's not a slave to time. Your own understanding will always play it safe. Your own understanding will always play it safe. Your own understanding will look to money for the answers you need. Getting quiet, that's okay. Your own understanding will never get you to the place of blessing, prosperity, contentment, effectiveness, and soundness that God has for you and has already given to you. Here's perhaps, we could probably just use this one right here because it pretty much says it all. Your own understanding will neutralize your faith and render it ineffective. Romans 12:3 says that God's given to every person the measure of faith. 1 John 5 says, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. But remember, faith is like a muscle. It has to be fed. It has to be strengthened. It has to be awakened. It has to be aroused. It has to be exercised. It has to be used. And in the same way, religious traditions can make the Word of God ineffective, lack of use, because faith without works is dead. I like to say it this way, faith without works is dormant. So your own understanding will neutralize your faith and render it ineffective. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by faith, not by sight. Walking by sight means living your life based upon the way things look, seem, and feel. And notice how the way things look, seem, and feel all rooted in your understanding. If you're living your life based upon the way things look, seem, and feel, you're living from the vanity or the futility of your own mind. Walking by faith means doing what God instructs you to do no matter how things look, seem, and feel. And so finally, God's understanding frees you from the rudimentary elements of this world and connects you with His divine power and provision. Connects you with His divine power and provision. Amen. Turn with me now to Galatians chapter 4. And I'm aware of the time. I appreciate you being patient. Hallelujah. I'm not going to try to develop this point fully. I will perhaps circle back around to it, but I feel really compelled this morning that this is something that needs to be said today. Praise God. So Galatians chapter 4, I'm going to read verses 1 through 9. It says, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, and that word child there in the original language is nepios, and it means one who is unenlightened. So notice again the connection between a darkened understanding. Does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so we, when we were children, nepios, unenlightened, born again, unenlightened, were in bondage under the elements of the world. Look at me for a moment. There's another word, we may not get to it this morning, but it's also translated child or children, and it's the Greek word technon, And it means one who has been born of, the offspring of. Okay? So, you know, we can say that a grown person is childish. And what are we saying? We're saying that they're acting immaturely. And then we can say, oh, that is, Daniel is Matt and Vanessa's son, their child, meaning what? He was born of Matt and Vanessa. That would be Daniel is Technon. Are you understand what I'm saying? And that 35-year-old man acting like a child is Nepios. Yes? Do you see the difference here? Okay. But that's sometimes lost in translation because both words are translated child. And so that's why I wanted to put them in parentheses here in this particular setting. Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. The elements of the world is talking about the basic principles that govern the world. And he says that we were limited. We were enslaved by those elements. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father, which Abba is a term of endearment, similar to our English word, dad or daddy. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. But then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not God's. But now, after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? So we sang it this morning, right? I'm not going back. I'm not going back. Well, going back doesn't just mean going back to some of our former habits or sinful behaviors. Going back means going back to living like a slave under the weak and beggarly elements or the... there's so many beautiful words in the Bible. Amen. The way things are stated and expressed. Weak and beggarly. Come on now. Anybody in this room interested in living something that's weak and beggarly? I mean, no. I mean, I was just like, no, man, I'm through with weak and beggarly. Come on now. I'm done with weak and beggarly. No more weak and beggarly. Weak and beggarly will never produce the life that God created us to live. But now after you've known God, or rather known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? Let's finish here. There's so much. Praise God. Verse 9, but now after you have known God, or rather are known by God. Let me try to help you by saying this a few different ways, understand what he's saying here, and then we'll move on to communion, okay? Years ago, and to my knowledge, none of this family's ever even attended this church, but they're lifelong friends of Pam's family, and the mother was, I think, in her 90s, late 80s, early 90s, and one of her children struggled with some different things in life, had some addiction issues and things in life. And so the elderly mother had, I want to say, a stroke or heart attack. I don't exactly remember. But they called, and Pam and I went to the hospital to pray for, lay hands on her, pray for her. And we were there when the nurse was asking all those questions. You know what I'm talking about? All those questions, right? And so she says to the mother, she says, now, do you live with your daughter? And she said, no, she lives with me. Did you catch that? do you live with your daughter? And because again, you know, she lives with me. Okay. Do you see the difference here? Okay. So he's not saying, a lot of people read this and they go, oh, these people aren't even born again. Yeah, they're born again. They're born again, but some of them don't know God yet. All right? Are you following me? So watch this now. Pastor Mark, do you know God? I know him better today than I did 5 years ago, but guess what? He knows me. Pastor Mark, do you understand the Bible? Better today than I did 10 years ago, but the Bible understands me. Are you ready? I've been just thanking the Lord. I hadn't mentioned this but a couple of times, but this is my Jubilee year. I was born again in September of 1974. So September this year. I've been saying it this way, and the Lord kind of, you know, the Lord, he'll teach you and kind of correct you and all that at the same time, right? So I've been saying it this way. I've been walking with the Lord for 50 years. And he corrected me recently. He says, well, actually, I've been walking with you for 50 years. Amen. Amen. But I haven't always been walking with him. Stand with me this morning. Praise God. Like, I've been walking with the Lord for 50 years. He's like, well, you know, son, I've been with you for 50. Amen. Matt, Vanessa, Daniel, y'all come on. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. So do you live with the Lord? Say, well, yeah, but more importantly, he lives with me. Amen. Amen. So Paul says, man, you know God. Or at least you're known by God. He knows you. And we're getting to know him better. Amen. 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 Father, thank you for the men and women in this room this morning. Thank you for loving us the way you love us. Helping us the way you help us. Thank you, Father, that no weapon formed against us this morning will prosper. Father, that every tongue that rises up against us, Father, will condemn it, not by speaking words of hate and anger, but by speaking words of love and truth. Father, you told us to not try to overcome evil with evil, but to overcome evil with good. So, Father, I thank you that we are your lights shining here on this earth. And, Father, it's our desire that other people see our good works and glorify you. Father, that the life that we live, free from the weak and beggarly elements of this world, leave those around us witnessing our lives no other option but to say, God is with that man. God is with that woman. God is with that family. The blessings of God, something about her. There's something about him that's different. And Lord, that they would ask and we would be ready to answer when they do. The hope that we have, the confident expectation that we have, Father, that motivates us to purify our lives, even as Christ is pure. Father, we are breaking free from a darkened understanding. A darkened understanding, Father, more than any other reason, is why your children live like slaves instead of like the royal priesthood that we actually have become. Thank you for helping us, Lord. Thank you for helping us, Lord. Amen. You may be seated.